Oh, I tell you, it's good to be with you tonight. This is Pastor Darrell Bailey coming to you live on Facebook from People's Valley Baptist Church. This is Wednesday night Bible study, October the 7th, 2020, the 19th of Tishri, the 5781 of the Hebrew calendar. Amen. Well, I thank God as we continue on and come with you tonight here from People's Valley Baptist Church. Together, we're becoming one spirit. I thank God many years in seminary ago that the Lord laid that motto. I never had no idea that I would use it at a church, but I thank God as one of the professors that I've studied under, and I tell you, I've had a lot of good men of God that that I've studied under, but I'm going to tell you, Dr. Guy Glass is one of the ones that I tell you I give a lot of recognition to. Back in the day at Cartersville Church of God, as we took some classes through him, and what a tremendous blessing he was to us. But during that time frame that I was, even back then, looking that if I was ever going to be a pastor, that some of the thoughts that I would put together. And this was one of the things the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. Together we're becoming one spirit, because if you're not together in unity, you can't accomplish anything. And so I thank God, People's Valley Baptist Church, that's our motto that I've put for the last 20 years on the sign down on the road. Amen. Together we're becoming one spirit. Hallelujah. I want to welcome you tonight to People's Valley Baptist Church. Amen. I thank God as there's a lot of things that's going on with this COVID. Amen. But I hope and pray that you can just ask the Lord to, as things begin to transpire later on, that you can look for a place that you can come and worship. Amen. People's Valley will be that place, amen, that you can come and worship, and you'll feel the Spirit of God. Come and be with us when you can in future days. I know this COVID is going to be behind us in the future. A lot of us are being careful during this time right now. So I want to encourage you to remember People's Valley in the coming future days, amen, a great place to worship and come with our Heavenly Father, amen. And so we continue our study tonight, mountains of the Bible, amen. Mountains of the Bible. I thank God. October the 7th, Wednesday night, the 19th of Tishri, 5781, amen. As we go with this series, amen. Last time, part one of Mount Nebo and Pisgah, mountains of the Bible, we were talking out of Numbers chapter 23, from verse 1 all the way down to verse 26. We didn't get all the way to verse 26. We ran out of time. But I want to encourage you. We were talking about the false prophet Balaam, amen, and King Balak. How that God took his tongue, and where King Balak wanted him to curse the nation of Israel. He couldn't, Balaam couldn't do nothing, the prophet, except pronounce blessings, amen. And I thank God, God can use anybody he wants to use. He can take anybody, just like he did Pharaoh, and use him for his purpose, no matter what leader that is out there today, and they think they're in control, but God can take their tongue and change it for his good. And so I thank God, that's exactly what that Bible study was about, amen, as we talked about the revealed up on the mount, because there was a revealing that God began to speak even through a false prophet. He reversed the curse. And he spoke blessings unto the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. And so I thank God, what a tremendous, as we're talking about Mount Nebo and Mount Pisgah, I thank God this is the place where Moses was buried. I tell you, the devil would love to know exactly where that's at, but he's never been able to find it so that he could manipulate the body of Moses. But I thank God, revealed on the mount, amen. That was part one, mountains of contemplation, amen. Tonight, we're coming out of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 23 and 25, and Deuteronomy chapter 34, amen, verses 1 through 12. We talk, and we call this the finale. You can look, but that's it. Hey, I say, this is the finale. You can look, but that's it. It's coming to the close of Moses' life. Now, thank God on the journey as we go up on the rough side of the mountain, there ain't a one of us that when that time gets close, that the Lord's going to let you know, amen. You ain't going to know when you're going to die, but you're going to know when it's getting closer, amen. And Moses knew because of some of the mistakes that he had made, amen. And so I thank God as we look at it tonight, amen, how that the story of Moses is basically never able to enter the promised land. Probably one of the saddest stories in all the Bible. He was a spiritual giant, a man called of God to deliver his people from bondage. Over 2 million Jews had followed him out of Egypt. through the Red Sea and through the wilderness, amen. And it was Moses who received the Ten Commandments and wrote the first five books of the Bible, amen. It was Moses at the direction of God that set up the tabernacle in the wilderness. I tell you, Moses was God's friend. And the Bible says that there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And so I thank God out of Deuteronomy 34, verse 10, amen. Can you imagine what it was like for Moses as he neared the promised land? I mean, this was God's promise to the people of Israel. And this was what they had been waiting for all of this time, amen. A land that was flowing with milk and honey, free from slavery, resting and at peace. And yet Moses missed it all. And you know, I believe there are many Christians like that today. Many like Moses that have given God everything they got. They work, they serve, they live right, they do the right things. If you were to look at them, you'd say, what more could anyone ask of them? You know, Moses was a man like that. He was faithful in all that he did, except, would it be great that if we'd never had to say anything about Moses being an exception? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we never had to reach in the Bible and say, well, here's an exception. Because Moses was nearing the promised land, the dream and the fulfillment of his life, the finale. You can look, but that's it. Imagine if you worshiped and you served the Lord all of your life, and when it comes to the closing of your days, the Lord says, here's your finale, Darrell Bailey. You can look, but that's it. You can't go over into heaven. You can't go over into the promised land. Well, man, that's got to be discouraging. The imminent death of Moses is a repeated theme in the Bible as you start in the closing chapters of Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 31, 14. Deuteronomy 31, 16. Deuteronomy 31, 26 down to verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 48 to 52. Deuteronomy 33, verses 1. And Deuteronomy 34, verses 1 through 8, 10 and 12. All of these are talking about as the closing chapters of the death of Moses. Moses knew what was coming. For death is an appointment, amen, in the book of Hebrews. It's not an accident. Now, thank God Moses had begun his ministry as a lonely shepherd caring for his sheep near Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai, the mountain of God in Exodus chapter 3. And now we would end his ministry. Here's the finale. You can look, but that's it. I'll tell you, leaving his sheep with Joshua, he was going up Mount Nebo and he was alone to meet God. But the emphasis in these verses isn't so much about his death as the fact that the Lord couldn't allow him to enter the promised land because of his sin at Kadesh in Numbers chapter 20. Instead of speaking to the rock, Moses struck that rock in anger and he said, listen, and I'm going to paraphrase. He said, hey, you bunch of rebels, hey, must we bring you water out of this rock? And I think that's in Deuteronomy 34 verse 10. Now, I'm kind of paraphrasing there, but his attitude and his actions, he was hitting the rock, and his words were all generated by the flesh and not the spirit, and they were intended to glorify him and Aaron and not the Lord. Let me tell you something. We better be almighty about glorifying the Lord, even in worship and everything that we do. It's all about the Lord, amen. It's all about the Lord. We better give attention to him. Hey, a preacher and pastor, don't never try to get in the pulpit and draw the attention to yourself. You better give glory to God, amen. And so I thank God. Here we begin to realize it indicated that Moses had often prayed a prayer in the day. Amen. And I thank God. One of the things that he was here that we realize that Moses, he did not sanctify God in what he said and did. And for this, he was kept out of the promised land in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 37 through 40, and Numbers chapter 20, verses 12 and 13. And he prayed earnestly that the Lord would change his mind, but the Lord refused to do so. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 23 down to verse 26, the verb that is there indicated that Moses had often prayed this prayer on Mount Nebo. But Moses was perhaps 6 miles from the border of the promised land, but the Lord wouldn't allow him to go in. Now, I'll tell you, every one of us, what he did, Moses failed to glorify God, and for that sin he had to suffer the consequences? Because God in His grace forgives our sins, but God in His government allows our sins to work out the sad consequences in our lives. You see, right now, today, you know, you can ask the Lord to do a miracle and you can pray and it might happen. But you know what? There's the laws of nature that are taking place. God has the things that happen in government today. God in His grace forgives our sins, but God in His government allows our sins to work out their sad consequences in our lives. And God gave Moses the ability to view the whole land from Naphtali on the north to Ephraim and Manasseh in the central area and Judea and Negev and Zor in the south. And the Lord assured Moses that He would keep His covenant with the patriarchs and that Israel would get this wonderful land. But I tell you, however, all was not lost. Moses, he did arrive in the Holy Land centuries later when he and Elijah joined Jesus in glory on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1, 2, and 3, and Luke chapter 9, verses 28 down to verse 31. He made a serious mistake. In a moment of anger, he disobeyed God. The children of Israel were out of water. They were thirsty. And so God told Moses, I want you to take your staff and smite the rock, which he did. Miraculously, that water came out of the rock. God then instructed Moses, the next time that you need water, don't you smite that rock, because you speak to that rock. Now, I tell you, we know the importance because the rock represented Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That was the rock, was Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus was smitten once on the cross for all of our sins, never to be smitten again. Amen. What He did on Calvary, He did it right. He didn't have to go back and redo it. He didn't have to ever do it again. Hallelujah. When He went to Calvary and when He hung on that cross, He did it right. Praise God. He took on all of the sins of the world and He took care of every bit of the sins that we had in our lives, and they were the load on His back on that cross. Jesus was smitten once on that cross for every one of our sins, never to be smitten again. And all that is necessary now is that we speak to Him and we ask Him for His life-saving water. Hallelujah. Amen. John 4:14, and He said, but whosoever drinketh of this, the water that I shall give him, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize that Moses' life was filled with a lot of work. I'm going to pause right there. We're going to have our time of prayer and our worship. Amen. And I thank God then we'll go into the heart of the message. Amen. The finale. You can look, but that's it. Father, we praise You and we thank You tonight. Lord, we might mention every name, but Lord, in my mind, You know what they are. That's how marvelous and that's how great You are. You already know the needs before I asked it. And Lord, it might be good and it shows and it lets people know that You speak it. But You know the needs in People's Valley Baptist Church. You know everyone. Lord, each one of us, even Brother Bob Carroll, Lord, as he mentions those names tonight over in our Wednesday night prayer Bible study there tonight, Father. Lord, I ask that You'll meet with them and work through Brother Bob. And Lord, I tell You, bless our church. And Lord, tonight, Father, Lord, that each one of the names that's mentioned specifically, and Lord, even through my mind tonight, Lord, I know that You know our heart. And You know that each and every one of our loved ones tonight, Father, that we've been praying for a long time to save them. Lord, we look to them first of all and foremost because they don't have a promise of salvation whatsoever. Secondly, Lord, we look to every need, those that are dealing with health issues, those that have cancer, those, Lord, that need representation. They need somebody to step up and stand in for them. Lord, You're the only one that fits the description. You're the only one that can do what no one else can do tonight, Father. And so, Father, I lift up those needs in People's Valley Baptist Church. And, Lord, I pray that You'll intervene in those areas. Lord, that You will come to the rescue of the many that are struggling in their health, in their jobs, in, Lord, their families, in their marriages, in their finances, every area of struggle. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus tonight. Lord, I thank God that we're the wealthiest people on the face of the earth. I plead the blood over the many that are going through COVID-19. And Lord, I ask you tonight to intervene and be the great physician in their lives. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Hallelujah tonight. Amen. Boys, it's good to be in the wonderful house of the Lord. Amen. The mountains of contemplation. Amen. Moses that we look at tonight. Before we go any further, let's praise the name of Jesus just for a little bit. I go back to one of my favorites. Amen. This is one of them I love because they used to sing this on the Grand Ole Opry a lot. Amen. Boy, I thank God. Good gospel music. Amen. There's nothing like it. Praise God. Angels rock me to sleep. My heart is sad, my soul is weary, while sailing o'er life's rugged main. The clouds are dark, the day is dreary, it seems all earthly help is vain. Angels rock me to sleep in the cradle of love. Bear me over the deep to that haven above, when the shadows shall fall and the Savior shall call. Angels rock me to sleep in the cradle of love. At last the harbor I am nearing. I see the lights along the shore. I hear my friends and loved ones cheering. I'll soon be off forevermore. Angels rock me to sleep in the cradle of love. Bear me over the deep to that haven above, when the shadow shall fall and the Savior shall call. Angels rock me to sleep in the cradle of love. Man, hallelujah. Boy, if that ain't good right there. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Boy, hallelujah. Amen. As we take the wonderful Word of God, we get over in the book of Deuteronomy. I tell you, as we go, first of all, as we look at Deuteronomy chapter 3, and I'll try my best as I put up things right here for you to see with us tonight, and go into the wonderful, marvelous Word of God. Amen. Well, I thank God each and every one of us as we look here tonight. And get over in to the wonderful. You can look, but that's it, amen. I thank God as we look at the locations again of how that Nebo is here, amen. Boy, I tell you, can you imagine of all the things that Moses began to experience to get to this point in his life, amen. The mountains of contemplation, amen. Each and every one of us, as we look at the finale of Moses' life, in the last chapter of the book, amen, we consider some of the things that happens in his life, amen. One of the first things that we see of the finale that you can look, but that's it, is the showing for Moses. We got to go back to the third chapter of Deuteronomy, amen. I thank God. We'll go to verse 23 and 25, and then we'll go over into Deuteronomy chapter 34, amen. I thank God, the showing for Moses. You know, there's no better description of the scene that could be given than that of Scripture, amen. I thank God, the climb up Mount Pisgah was obviously an exciting time, but it was a sad time as well. Boy, can you imagine? One of these days, we're on our last journey to complete it, amen. Boy, we're going up the rough side of the mountain today. But thank God when we get where we need to go. Not only was Moses going to view over into the promised land from the top of the mountain, but he was also going to die on that mountain without ever entering the land. Amen. Boy, I thank God for that. Amen. Well, look at that. And I tell you, as he was climbing the mountain to be all alone with God, his ministry was going to come to an end just as it had begun. In the very presence of God himself. Amen. When Moses was only a shepherd in the desert, God first confronted him in the burning bush and got his attention. Amen. Boy, I thank God that's all after he had done put 40 years over in the backside of the desert. Amen. Well, thank God. He spent 40 years as a prince, and another 40 years on the backside of the desert, amen. But I thank God, listen, God was now going to confront him on Mount Nebo as the great leader that had faithfully obeyed and served him for 40 years, amen. God was ready to take that servant to be an eternal leader into the promised land of heaven, and he was going to be face to face with the Lord God forever. But just before Moses died, the Lord began to show him all the land of Canaan, amen. As we look at that special viewing, we see the prompting of that showing. And the prompting of that showing takes us to Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, he said, I besought the Lord at that time, saying, amen. Boy, I thank God, after securing of Gilead for several tribes, Moses besought the Lord at that time, saying, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that's beyond Jordan, amen. I tell you, God refused the request of Moses to enter Canaan land, for God would not remove the punishment that was given Moses earlier for striking the rock instead of speaking to it, amen. I tell you, but however, the request did prompt the showing of Canaan to Moses by God from a mountain over in Moab. And though God refused to let Moses go over into Jordan, into Canaan to see the land, he did allow him to see the land from a mountain on the east side of Jordan. Amen. God was gracious in permitting Moses this viewing of the land, but it was still the second best. You know what? Sometimes, because of the bad choices that we make in life, the only thing that's going to come about is the second best when you could have had the very best. Christian, that's sad today. But I'm going to tell you, God doesn't pull any punches back. Amen. And so I thank God, when temptation beckons, we got to remember the cost of yielding is never compensated for by any rewards that you may gain from temptation, amen. And so I thank God, as we look, he viewed the land of all sorts. But it goes on, and I thank God it tells us in Deuteronomy 3:25, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. I thank God there was a prompting that was there. And from the top of Mount Nebo, Moses had a panoramic view of the promised land, the inheritance that God had promised and given to his people. I wonder what Moses could see, amen. The description that it talks about that he could see over from Nebo, looking northward from Gilead to Dan, turning his gaze over to the northwest of all Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh. And all of Naphtali in that territory, amen. And then west, all the land of Judah, as far as the western sea. And then looking southward, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho and the city of Palms, as far as Zoar. I tell you that God let him look over and view, amen, this promised land that was swore to the forefathers of faith, amen. That was the prompting of that showing, amen. But we also see some of the power that was involved in it. Hallelujah, amen. Because here we start over at Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 1. The Bible says, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord shewed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. Boy, I tell you, I thank God, here is a power. Because here is the showing of that, praise God. Here was a preview of the promised land that he went up to meet death unafraid. Hallelujah. Many a dying saint has the curtain pulled back. They look through the veil to eternity. Hallelujah. As Stephen did, as the stones was beating the life out of him. Amen. He said, I see the Father standing. I see Jesus standing on the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, I tell you, every one of us, praise God. Moses saw the land of rest after wandering for 40 years. A land of plenty, showing that it was flowing with milk and honey, praise God. A land of victory, praise God. And so to view the promised land, God ordered Moses to get thee up on the mount, amen. I thank God. Boy, I tell you, the location, he said the top of Pisgah, amen. I tell you, what a great view that he had, that he was able to look over the location to be able to see as he saw the Mediterranean Sea. But it was not visible from the mountains where he viewed the land. I tell you, the Lord showed him all the land, but I think it implies that his eyes either they were strengthened or through a vision of spiritual vision that he was able to look and to see, even though that he was up high. And I thank God to be able to look and to see all of this, the power, because God will give us the power to see the spiritual visions that we need. Pastors, ministers, deacons, hallelujah, laymen of the church, hallelujah. He'll give us the power to see the vision, to fulfill it and to see it through, amen. Even if it ain't two or three in the congregation, God's going to bless you. Don't be looking when you're looking for a big showing, amen. Just go on and do what God's called you to do, amen. God will bless it, because God can take that one person, that one little kid that's been there and got saved under your ministry, and he can reach many through that one person. You know, that's if everybody just was responsible for leading somebody to Jesus, just one, how many people would be saved today? You know what? You don't need a preacher to go get everybody saved. You, as a body of Christ, can teach and you can show somebody how to get saved by the Romans Road, amen. And so I thank God. The Lord said, but thou shalt not go over. Boy, ain't that sad? Boy, I tell you, the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead. Boy, I tell you, but listen, here we go. He goes on, he said, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, unto the utmost sea. I thank God that he said. And the south, and the plain of valley, and the Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zor. He said, in verse 4, and the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I've caused thee to see it with thine eyes. Listen, but this is said, but thou shall not go over thither. But thou shall not go over thither. You see that? That's right down at the bottom of verse 4 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Man, that's sad. The justice of God that he's executed, it cannot be unexecuted. Even for a man like Moses. I wonder, can you compare yourself to Moses? Boy, I know I can't. I can't even get down low to the ground to touch what he did with ministry and all the things that he brought, the law, wrote the first five books of the Pentateuch. Oh my goodness, no. Not on my best day or any day can I ever compete to that. Moses had seen the land. God affirmed that Moses, thou shalt not go over thither. I tell you, there had to be a bitter pill for him to swallow. But you know what? I believe Moses took it in stride. He knew that he had done wrong. He had already made amends. He had repeated, amen. And so I thank God he took his medicine, amen. Good people, they can't read all of the things in this, but I'm going to tell you, I believe that Moses, he went on and he did exactly. He saw the land, but he could not enjoy the land. The frustration which sin can bring to one's life. Let us look lightly upon sin, but I'm going to tell you, never, ever look lightly upon sin. Never take it for granted. You need to do everything you can to stay in that relationship with Jesus Christ, amen. Because you can experience the judgment of God. The finale is, you can look, but that's it. You know what? I don't know about you, but my finale is up and away. Amen. I'm there in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I tell you, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's a great finale. Amen. Church, hallelujah. And so we see the first part of this was the showing for Moses. But I thank God the second part we come is the surrendering of Moses. You know, I normally got three. This is only a two-part. I'm doing pretty good tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God in this thing. Hey, here we see the surrendering of Moses from chapter 34 of Deuteronomy all the way down from verse 5 to verse 8. Now, I'm going to go down to verse 12, but I'm only dealing with verse 8. But I wanted to complete the entire chapter and go down to verse 12. But I thank God, and I've got it on there to show. Now, thank God, as we look at the surrendering of Moses, Moses died according to the Word of God. God took care of his funeral, amen. You didn't have to worry about going down over here to Owens or Parnick Jennings, amen, or anywhere else. God put the bill on it. He took care of it. Amen. He made sure that Moses, the man of God, was put away. Amen. He didn't have to worry about getting a hearse and doing this and going through all the arrangements that some of us have to do, whether you're going to cremate him or whatever you want to do, amen, and get you a plot or whether you got one planned, amen. But I'm going to tell you, you better be packed up and ready to go, amen, because God's coming back. Be sure that it was the hand of God. Moses died with no physical defects. Moses couldn't go over with the rest of the children of Israel as much as he wanted to, but I'm going to tell you, he was still physically able. God was present during the death of this servant, amen. But I think God, look and read with me. He says, So Moses, the servant, in the fifth verse of Deuteronomy 34, and so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. In verse 6, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Bethor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Verse 7, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye, listen, his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. He was still in good health at 120 years old, amen. Well, I thank God, Moses died just as God said that it was appointed for him to die, amen. Jewish rabbis, as they give us a description of interpretation of verse 5, that this is the kiss of death here that he was going to have. But I thank God, every one of us, as we look and realize that God has a blessing for each and every one of us today, amen. And so I thank God. There's something that God does not tell us about death, and we can be glad. One of them is the time and the situation of our death, because how in the world would you be able to function knowing exactly when you were going to pass on from this walks of life and die? You know, we see the condition of Moses in verse 7 here, because first it was his age. What did I read? He's 120 years old, amen. I tell you, that was not exceptionally old in those days. You say, what you talking about, man? Hey, I don't know about a lot of people getting to be 120 years old. Well, listen to the Word of God. Moses' father, Amram, was 137 years old in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20. His grandfather, Kohath, lived 133 years old in Exodus chapter 6, verse 18. His great-grandfather, Levi, lived 137 years old in Exodus chapter 6, verse 16. And then his great-great-grandfather, Jacob, lived 147 years in Genesis chapter 47, 28. So yes, he's a youngster compared to them, amen. And so the finale about this is, hey, you can look, but that's it. What's the significance about Moses' 120 years is the way in which his years are divided, amen. Divided into three distinct 40-year periods. As we look, because his first 40 years were spent in Egypt, as I said, in Pharaoh's house, being raised as an adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then the second 40 years were lived in the backside of the desert in Midian near Sinai as a shepherd. And the third 40 years were spent leading Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness and finally to the land of Gilead. And the first 80 years then were times of preparation. The second, the first 40 years of that preparation in the palace. The second 40 were preparation in the pasture. And after the 80 years of preparation, Moses was ready to emancipate the Israelites over into the milk and honey, the land of Canaan. And so I thank God, every one of us, we see it was his age, first of all. Secondly, his aging, because I thank God, the Bible says that his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated, amen. Now thank God, as he was in excellent health, amen, at 120 years old, he was fresh, he was vigor. I thank God, every one of us, as though that he had aged some, he still was in exceptionally good health for his age, amen. While God doesn't give us a robust health to everyone, he does provide enough health for us to do the work that he wants us to do. But in serving God, listen to this. But in serving God, what matters more than the condition of our body is the consecration of our heart, amen. The consecration of our heart. We are, of course, we still take care of our bodies. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19. But many saints do not do well here at all. You know why? For they give themselves up their physical appetites, and they paid a big price for doing so because they give it up to those physical appetites. And so we see the condition of Moses. But the cemetery of Moses, back up in verse 6, it says, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Bethor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. I thank God we see the covering of the body. Moses had that unique situation in his death that it was God that buried him. Amen. A great honor to Moses. Amen. But God, I tell you, even though that this took place, Moses represents the law and he was buried by God. And I thank God there's a contrast between Moses and Christ. Because as Moses represented the law and he was buried by God, Christ represented grace. And he was raised by God. And so it reminds us of what Paul said in Galatians. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto Christ. Hey, does that sound familiar? Sunday night, I preached about the walking dead to sin and alive to Christ. And it goes hand in hand. Amen. God buried Moses, who represented the law, but he raised Christ, who represents life. And so the finale, you can look, but that's it. When God buried Moses, he didn't place a prominent tombstone at the grave to mark the site. He said, you know what? Nobody's going to know where it's at except me. Amen. And so I thank God. In Jude chapter 9 that it talks about that. Amen. And so I thank God every one of us is we're tremendously blessed. And so we see the crying over Moses, because as we go back over into verse 8, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of the weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And so I thank God. There they begin to recognize and mourn as he was 120 years old. Amen. And the scripture clearly says that as he died, he was still healthy. And so the work of God upon earth was done for him. God took him on home to be with him. He took him home to the eternal promised land of heaven. But the Israelites grieved over his passing. The death of a believer is precious in the sight of the Lord. The suffering, the sin, and the evil break the heart of God. And therefore, when it's time for a dear believer to go home to heaven, it's a most precious moment to our Lord and Savior. And I thank God he's able to take one of his people out of the suffering and the shame of this old world. Amen. I thank God, every one of us, as we realize how truly blessed that we are when the Lord comes back for us. Many have bad health by that time, and boy, they're in a lot of pain and a lot of hurt, amen. But the regret in the morning, I thank God, it was not until Moses died that the people began to realize how important that he was to Israel and how much he had done for them, amen. When he died and they mourned, I thank God, they realized how many blessings that they had had with Moses and what he had done for them. And so the restraint in that morning, I thank God, it didn't last forever. At the end of 30 days, the mourning ended, amen. Forever standing over a grave and mourning is not productive, and it accomplishes no good at all. The Lord wants you to go on with your life. He's got more things for you to do. Is it hard? Is it challenging? You better believe it's hard. It is challenging. I thank God for our grief share and the ministry that it has done in our church since we brought it in. I thank God for Brenda Weaver, as she's the one that brought in our grief share, and thank God that we've done those with people, and it's been so effective. Even for Moses, the time came to stop mourning over his death. You know, that's between you and the Lord. God will let you know. God will be the greatest comfort that you can ever have. Amen. I thank God as we go on in verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Amen. Well, I thank God. Here was the replacement. You know what? Moses had laid his hand on Joshua, the son of Nun, full of the spirit. And I thank God no man is irreplaceable. Hey, I don't care. President Roosevelt, he was replaced. Kennedy, at his time as a president, he was replaced. God always raises up a man or a woman that he needs at a time that he needs it. Amen? And so he's always got to replace. He'll replace me if I don't do what I need to do. He'll replace you if you don't do what you need to do. So you better think about that. And so I thank God. When we look at verses 10, 11, and 12, we think about the remembrance. We go back. They remembered the terror of the Lord at the hand of Moses. A mighty deliverance that was in Egypt, crossing the Red Sea. And there was not a prophet like Moses in all of the land of Israel. But look at the Word of God. It tells us in verse 10, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. Lastly, in verse 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 34, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses shewed in the sight of all Israel. Oh, I thank God. There was not a prophet like unto Moses in all of the land. The death of God's saints is very precious to him. Amen. Now, thank God, as we strive to reach our goal, let us consider two final things that I want to challenge you with. Number one, we need to identify our hindrances. Amen. What it is, if there's anything that hinders you today from having the joy of the Lord, or pressing on with a complete confidence. Amen. Because discouragement may come, frustration, external circumstances, people, money, health. Maybe it's something in the heart, something inside. Maybe it's a feeling of inadequacy. Remember, Moses felt inadequate to lead God's people. Ask God to help you with it, and He will. Amen. keep in mind that it may not, he may not choose to remove the hindrance, but he will give you the grace to overcome it. Let me say that again. Listen to me now. Listen. Keep in mind, he may not choose to remove the hindrance, but he will give you the grace to overcome it. Paul sought the Lord's help on three different occasions to remove the thorn in his flesh, but God did not say, listen, this is what he said. He said, my grace is sufficient. Amen. So identify what your hindrances are. Number two, in closing, and in challenging you, the application, renew your efforts. Not only identify your hindrances, renew your efforts. Unfortunately, Moses was never given another opportunity to make things right. Some things, some choices that you make, that's it. You can't do a do-over. You won't get a second chance. That's it. That's sad, but that's true. But yes, Moses repented of his sin and God forgave him, but he was never allowed to enter the promised land at that time. We ought to keep that in mind because God will forgive our sins. But sometimes a person can lose his or her opportunity to have God's very best at hand. And if you feel like that tonight, if you feel yourself slipping into a laziness because you've been at home and you ain't been praying, you ain't been reading your Bible, maybe you turn on Facebook and you just kind of listen to it a little bit. Yeah, I listen to Preacher Bailey. Oh, I listen to Pastor so-and-so over yonder, amen. So-and-so and so-and-so. But you really ain't really, because you got a lack of interest right now. You're at home. You ain't really been really staying close to the Lord like you really should. Sin has crept in. Laziness has come in. Why not renew your passion for the things of the Lord? Rebuild a level of enthusiasm that will get you out of that rut. And you're moving in the right direction if you'll do that. I tell you, listen, don't stay in the wilderness. Listen to me. Get out of that wilderness, amen. Rather by faith and obedience, let us go on and possess the land. I'm going up the rough side of the mountain. Amen. I thank God. You may be a Christian like Moses, and you've lost sight of the big picture that God has for you. Things have gotten in your way lately. Something has distracted you. Why not come and simply say, Lord, renew within me a right spirit. Give me that passion and that enthusiasm that I need to carry on. Would you? Would you? I thank God, many of you, Moses had laid his hand on Joshua. He had already had a replacement. But the remembrance is they reminisced. I wonder, what are they going to remember about you? It's the things that you do for the Lord that count. It's the things that you do that give glory and honor to Jesus Christ. I thank God. They remembered the terror of the Lord at the hand of Moses. Mighty deliverance in Egypt. Crossing the Red Sea, Moses held up his hands. Hallelujah. And they went over on dry ground. Hey, and there was not a prophet like Moses in all the land of Israel. Amen. The finale of your life. It's not about you can look and that's it. Hey, up and away, and changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye, that ought to be your finale. This finale was Moses's. Don't let it be your finale. Don't let it be your finale. You can look, but that's it. You know what? Right now, what am I talking about? In this life, I ain't saying that you're going to miss heaven because you lost your salvation. I ain't saying anything. Don't misconstrue that. I'm saying that there is a land of promise right here for you now that you can enjoy some of the blessings of it, but all of a sudden you're going to settle for the second best instead of the very best that God has planned for you. Why not plan to receive the promised land that's flowing with milk and honey? Get out of the wilderness. This is Pastor Darrell Bailey. Listen, understanding that I'm a sinner, but believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross to free me from the punishment of my sins, I now receive Him as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day forward, I desire to live to please Christ and am placing my, trust in Him
Listen, for the gift of eternal life. Let that be somewhat of your prayer if you never remember asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life. Again, this is Pastor Darrell Bailey from People's Valley Baptist Church. May God bless you as our prayers. Thank you for tuning us in tonight in our study, Mountains of the Bible. May God bless you as our prayers.